coming up is encouragement to share Jesus Christ with our friends and neighbours in a natural way. That's on today's Focus on the Family. Stay with us.
Many churches, they will often encourage their congregations, go on a missions trip. And I say, yes, go on a missions trip. Walk next door. It's cheaper. You don't have to spend a year fundraising. Walk next door.
Well, he does have a point there. Our mission field can be right in our own neighborhood. That's Jay John, and we're continuing a message from him on today's episode of Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
As usual, Jay John is bringing his trademark humor and fascinating stories to a serious topic, the mandate from Jesus known as the Great Commission, where he instructed us to share the gospel with everyone we meet.
We're going to start with a brief recap today on Focus on the Family with Jim Daly.
I walked up to the lady. I said, excuse me. I said, is your name Barbara? She says, yes, it is. I said, I've heard that you've got a sick child. She says, yes, I do. I only have one child. He's dying. She said, can you go now to the hospice? We go there. We find him. Now, her son's called Johnny. And he's 34 years of age. I said, hello, Johnny. I said, I'm Reverend Jay John. I said, I just met your mother, and your mother asked me to come and pray for you. I said, would you like me to do that? And then he stared me out. He just looked at me in the eyes, and he didn't say anything. And it was so uncomfortable. I'm like, oh, Lord. Lord, I don't know what to do. This is awkward. And then he said this. I would rather have a hug. Killy and I bent down. He lifted himself up. The three of us held each other. And he starts crying. Killy starts crying. I start crying. He then let go. We let him go. I said, do you want the prayer anyway? He says, look, I'm an atheist. But if you need to pray, go ahead. So I said, I will. So all I did was, Jesus, open his eyes. And all I said was, amen. Then I said to him, hey, Johnny, we talked for a bit. And I said, Johnny, do you want me to come back again and talk to you? He says, I love it. You see, before someone's a Christian, they're in minus territory. When they become a Christian, they step over a line, they're saved, they're born again, they're in Christ. Now, when you're in minus territory, it goes up to minus 100. He was minus 100. I kept visiting him, minus 90. Kept visiting him, minus 80, 70, 60, 50, 40. Every time I went, I could see he was getting nearer and nearer and nearer and nearer. And then I went and he was in a lot of pain. It wasn't the day to discuss, but his countenance had changed. And I just stood, I held his hand. I didn't say anything, I just prayed. Next morning, very early in the morning, knock on our door, open the door, it's the mother, he's died. She said, would you speak at my son's funeral? I said, of course I will. Now, the mother is a New Ager. She asks me to speak at the funeral. I didn't realize that her son was famous. I meet all sorts of people. I don't know who they are half the time. He was a really famous nightclub DJ. There's 800 people at the funeral. Okay, let's just reenact this. I'm walking around the village with Killy. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. Oh, Lord. Oh, Lord. Quiver in the liver. Talk to her. Go and see her son. Pray for him. Keep visiting. He passes away. Speak at the funeral. 800 people at the funeral. 800 people at the funeral. People go, well, how does it work? Well, you just walk around. Your kingdom come. Your will be done. You know, it's not difficult, is it? You know, you don't have to say, where are the non-Christians? They're everywhere. They're everywhere. And look, we've got a station in London. It's called King's Cross, okay? It's an underground station. It's called King's Cross. When I finished speaking, I stepped down. When I stepped down, I was mobbed. I was mobbed. There were people here trying to talk to me. There were people pulling my hand. Reverend J. John, what did you mean that we can go to heaven via King's Cross? Well, you do know that, don't you? You know you can only get to heaven if you go via the cross of the King. King's Cross, yeah? And my whole sermon was, go to heaven via King's Cross. That's it. You see, we've got to be more intentional in praying. Number one, more intentionally praying. Number two, just warming up. Right, two. More intentional in caring. Number two?
More intentional.
You see, people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. They don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. You know, there's a scripture in Peter, always be prepared. You've got to be prepared. Now, in my coat in England, in the pocket, there is a pair of socks, a toothbrush, a cross, and a little evangelistic booklet. Always. Why? Because every time I see a homeless person, I will stop. Would you like a clean pair of socks? Oh, yes, please. Would you like a toothbrush? Yes, please. May I give you this cross? I always carry one with me. A little wooden cross from Bethlehem. May I give you this cross? No one has ever refused it. One man, homeless man, he put the cross in his hand and he was down on the floor and he was like, oh. And then I just said, this is what I believe about Jesus. And I said, God loves you. And he said, I know he does. I said, how do you know? He said, because you came. You see, you've got to be prepared. If you're not prepared, then you're not going to be able to do it. Now, outside Macy's, there's a lady, homeless woman, in a wheelchair. If you're ever around Macy's, she's there. In her wheelchair. Her name is Rosemary. Now, I've not met Rosemary, but the man who brought me to Christ, called Andy Konomides, when he came a few months ago and actually came here on the Tuesday night, he met Rosemary and he kept meeting. And one night he felt he should go and look for her. And he went to look for her and he had conversations with her. He texted me yesterday. He said, John, I want you to go down to Macy's and find Rosemary and give her $100. You've got to be intentional. Now, I don't just mean homeless people. Anybody. You've got to express that you care. Killy and I, we were in San Diego. And amidst all the different meetings and the conferences, we had like half a day free and we thought, let's just go to a shopping mall and just wander around. But we didn't want to ring the church and ask them to take us, so we got an Uber. So got in the Uber, and as soon as we got in the Uber, I said to the driver, is there something I can pray for you? That's right. I didn't say anything else, apart from hello, where we're going. Is there something, he said, would you pray for my mother? She's got Alzheimer's. I said, yes. I said, my wife and I said, we will pray now. And we start praying. As we are praying, the Uber driver, he does this. I'm sorry, Jesus. I'm sorry, Jesus. I will go to church. I will go to... I didn't mention Jesus. I didn't mention the church. I'm just praying for his mum. That's all I'm doing. Anyway, we get to the mall. We just walk around the mall. To be honest, all we did is have a coffee and have a little wander around. Right, it's time to go. It's getting a bit dark. Our Uber app isn't working. No! Oh no, why is it not working? You know, and our phone wasn't working. Oh no, what are we gonna do? It's kind of like, it's getting dark. And it's like, what do we do now? I said, Killy, ask that woman if she knows why our Uber app isn't working. Killy goes up to the lady and says, I'm sorry, do you know anything about Uber apps? Because ours is not working. And she said, oh no dear, I don't know anything about that. She says, where are you staying? Oh, well, we're staying at this hotel. Oh, she says, I know where that hotel is. It's around 20 minutes away. She says, I'll take you. Oh. You know, your first thought is, oh, is she going to take us somewhere else? You know, has she got, you don't know, do you? It's getting dark. I say to Killy, you sit in the front. I'll sit in the back. We get in the car. She starts the journey. I say to the lady, what's been happening in your life? She says, well, where do I begin? 2 weeks ago, my son died of an overdose. I believe God stopped the app from working. I'm convinced he stopped the app from working because the moment we got to the hotel, it started working. We spent 20 minutes talking to her. We got to the hotel. We asked her to wait. We rushed upstairs. We got a whole load of resources. We brought back the resources. We prayed for the woman. We invited her to church. You know, look, you gotta be more intentional in praying. You gotta be more intentional in caring. And there are numerous opportunities everywhere, whether it's an Uber driver, whether it's a homeless person, whether it's a neighbor, whether it's a colleague, whether it's a friend, they're all lost. When I got baptized, I said this, my friend Andy built a bridge from him to me, and when he did, Christ Jesus walked over it. Let's build bridges. Let's be more intentional. Let's be more expectant. I mean, I'm so grateful that the first Christian I ever met, I became a Christian. The first person to speak to me about Jesus, and I come to Christ. I mean, what if he hadn't told me? I'd be running a Greek restaurant in London. I wouldn't be here, would I? Be more intentional in praying. Be more intentional in caring. Number three, be more intentional in sharing. Number three, be more intentional in sharing. You know, there's a beautiful story in John chapter 4, Jesus and the Samaritan woman. I love it. Okay, let's do a quick Bible study. Jesus is here. He wants to go there. Every other Jew would have walked around Samaria, because Jews and Samaritans hated each other. So the first thing you read about the story is Jesus broke long-standing traditions. Just because every other Jew walked around Samaria didn't mean he was going to do that. So he breaks them. Now, some traditions are fine, but sometimes we adopt traditions that hinder people rather than help people. Jesus walked that way. He stops at a well, a woman comes. When the woman arrives, Jesus and the woman, what was the difference between the woman and Jesus? Well, first of all, there's a moral barrier. She's living in adultery, he's the high priest. Secondly, there's a social barrier. She's a woman, he's a man. Thirdly, there's a racial barrier. She's a Samaritan, he's Jewish. Fourthly, there's a religious barrier. She's a Samaritan, he's Jewish. So you've got a moral barrier, a social barrier, a racial barrier, and a religious barrier. Well, how did Jesus break down the barriers? Well, he focused on what he had in common. He only had one thing in common with her, H2. H2O. Oh, you want water? Oh, I love water. Lovely spring water. Don't you love water? But I know about a different water. If you drink this other water, you won't be thirsty. What do you mean? Well, there's this other water. If you drink it, you won't be thirsty. What do you mean? Well, there's other water. And so he starts clarifying it. He speaks into her life. She drops a pot. She goes and gets everybody. And what happens is, the Samaritan revival begins. Now, this is incredible, though. She addressed Jesus four times during the conversation. The first time she addressed Jesus, she calls him Jew. And when you read it in the Greek, it's a little bit like this. Jew. Then she says, Sir. Then she says, Prophet. Then she says, Messiah. And we normally have the opposite effect. Look what happened. Look at how her attitude changed. Look at how he drew her in. Jesus went out of his way, broke long-standing traditions, spoke to one woman, ignites the Samaritan revival. We need to be more intentional in praying, in caring, and sharing. You know, every Christian is a witness. And in a court of law, you have a witness. Now, the witness gets up and says, let me tell you what I know. You just share what you know. I was this, but I discovered that. You know, I was in darkness, but then I discovered the light. You know, I was discouraged, but then I was encouraged. This is what happened. I was in need, and God provided. And you just tell stories. That's a witness. That's a witness. But then you have the attorney, and the attorney gets up and presents the facts in such a convincing manner as to get the jury to make a decision. That's what I do. That's what an evangelist does. We're not all evangelists, but we're all witnesses. Every single one of us is a witness. I spoke at this one meeting in a university. I finished speaking. I stepped down. Students were talking to me. And while they were talking to me, this girl comes along, interrupts us really rudely, like really rudely. She said, I hated what you said. I said, I'm so sorry. She says, well, I can tell you that church ruins people's lives. I said, I'm very sorry that you feel that and think that. I said, but look, have you got some time? And she's like, why? I said, well, if you've got a few minutes, how about you and I? We'll just go and have a coffee. All right. So we you know, it's like that. So we go to the local refectory on the campus, like just a few yards away. We get the coffee. I said, why are you so angry? And it's like, all this stuff comes out. And, you know, I'm not there to kind of argue with her. I try to say a few things. You know, I said things like, medicine is great, it's good. God provided medicine, but a lot of mistakes have been made in the name of medicine. Surgeons have made mistakes and people have died. Pharmaceutical companies have made mistakes, like thalidomide. But we don't throw out the whole of medicine because of some mistakes that have been made. Yes, some mistakes have been made in the church. And men, some of the followers of Jesus have not been a good example. But Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So I said to her, look, that was a Monday. Come and hear me Tuesday and we'll have a coffee. She came, we went for coffee. I said, come and hear me Wednesday, we'll go for coffee. She came, went for coffee. I said, come and hear me Thursday and we'll go for coffee. She came, went Thursday. I said, one more meeting, Friday. Come and hear me Friday. Friday, she's ransomed, healed, restored, forgiven. Five coffees. A bit of preaching and five coffees. We got to be far more intentional in praying, far more intentional in caring, far more intentional in sharing. I went to get my hair cut, and I noticed that the lady cutting my hair, by her mirror, she had her key ring with her keys, and on her key ring, she had a rabbit's foot. I said to her, why have you got a rabbit's foot on your key ring? Oh, she said, that's to bring me good luck. I said, the rabbit wasn't lucky. I said, how can an unlucky rabbit bring you any luck? She goes, I never thought of that. She bent down, she took the rabbit's foot off, she chucked it into the trash can. The next 20 minutes, we're talking about superstition. Why do hotels have floor 12 and then 12A? I mean, you don't know, are we stupid? We know that 12A is 13. Some people won't fly on an aeroplane if they're on row 13. Oh, lightning's just going to take out row 13. So we talked about superstition. And then after the 20 minutes, I said to her, my wife and I, we run a class in our home called Agnostics Anonymous. Would you like to come? She says, I'd love to come. Can I bring my husband? Yes, of course. They came every week for 16 weeks. You know, people go, I don't know how to do it. What do you mean? Your kingdom come, your will be done. A quiver in the liver, go and speak to somebody. You know, Lord, give me eyes to see things. Our responsibility as Christians, what is it? It's to go into God's orchard and we check the fruit. We check the fruit. We're the fruit checkers. Check the fruit. Check the fruit. If the fruit is ripe for picking, what do? You pick it. Pick the fruit. Pick the fruit. Don't let other people pick the fruit. We know, don't we? Listen, without Jesus, we have a hopeless end. With Jesus, we have an endless hope. We have an endless hope. We have good news. Good news. Listen, if you don't yet know the truth of what I've been speaking about, the good news of Jesus, basically, the heart of being a Christian is this. We are all broken people. And we can only be healed in the broken body of Jesus. That is the message. Every single one of us, whether we're a homeless person with not even a dollar, to a billionaire, and anyone in between, we're all broken. All broken. Only Jesus can heal us. Only Jesus can save us. Only Jesus can deliver us. And there's a beautiful verse at the end of the Bible in the book of Revelation, chapter 3. And it says this, Jesus stands at the door and he knocks. If you hear the knock, open the door, let Jesus in. Listen, if you haven't let Jesus in, let Jesus into your life. And experience forgiveness from the past, new life here today, and our hope for the future.
Indeed, it's exciting to imagine what the future holds, especially as we obey the Lord. And J. John has written a terrific book for anyone interested in learning more about the life of Christ. It's called Jesus Christ, the Truth. Look for that online or at a local bookseller. Thanks for listening to Focus on the Family with Jim Daly. I'm John Fuller.
At Focus, we're deeply honored to be a trusted voice in ministry. The God-honoring resources we provide are only possible thanks to the generosity of our financial partners. We invite you to prayerfully consider supporting this mission at families.org.au so together we can help more families thrive in every season of life through Christ.